Turn with me this morning to Luke's Gospel, the 5th chapter. Beginning in verse 1, let's hear the Word of God. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the Word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two boats standing at by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them, and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night, and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. So also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. Our Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing again this morning as we are privileged to open your word. We ask that the Holy Spirit will illuminate the scriptures to us, that our hearts and our minds be open to receive them. And we thank you for it. Amen. At this point in Christ's ministry, he is still relatively obscure. He has ministered to some people. He had delivered some. There were some healings that were done. He had done some teaching, but he was still relatively unknown. But his message is so profound that it has such an effect on the people that the people who hear it want to hear more. And the crowds begin to form and are following Christ. And from time to time, he needs to do something different. He steps away from the conventional teaching postures to just simply be able to reach the people. And he has made his way now out here to this lake. In Matthew and Mark's gospel, it's called the Sea of Galilee. Luke refers to it as the Lake of Gennesaret. It's the same body of water. And he makes his way down there, and when he gets to the lake, the people that are there are just doing what they do. They're just going about their business. Particularly the fishermen, because that's where they made their living. And they were busy doing what they needed to do. Scripture tells us that what they were doing at that particular point was washing their nets. You ever gone fishing? Not with a net. I mean, with a pole. I've gone fishing a couple of times lately. I went a few more times when I was a kid. But I am really good at reeling in seaweed. You know, I'll cast that thing out there and just start reeling it in here. And you get the biggest bunch of seaweed and, you know, stuff. Well, imagine if you weren't fishing with a pole, if you were fishing with a net, and you threw that out, and you start collecting whatever is there. You might be missing fish, but you get yourself some seaweed and somebody's old boot that got thrown out there. You know, how many beer cans are getting thrown in a pond, you know? They're just hauling that stuff in. Those nets have to be cleaned before you can go out and redo and take care of business and work. And so that's what the disciples-to-be were doing at this point. We were washing their nets. I wonder if, just as a kind of a side thing, if the nets of our mind need to be cleansed a little bit. How is it that, and we do every day, we throw our nets out. And who knows what we're going to come gathering back into us. You can't say that everything that you drag back in is good for you. That you need to take some time and clean those things. in order to make them function properly. These guys, Peter and Andrew, and James and John, they were all around. They were busy. They were cleaning their nets. And what they weren't doing was using their boats. The boats were tied up. So Jesus, walking down by there, decides, I'm just going to get in one. He says, I'm going to turn this into a floating pulpit. Wasn't his boat. He just walked down there by the lake, saw it, said, you know, I'm going to make use of that. And he went over and he stepped in and starts talking to Peter. Now, this is not Jesus' first meeting with Simon Peter. Jesus has met with Simon before. In Matthew and Mark's gospel, they have an initial meeting in the fourth chapter of Matthew and the first chapter of Mark, where Jesus just comes down by the lake and he says, follow me. Later on, Jesus has gone to Peter's house where his mother-in-law is ill. And Jesus heals the mother-in-law. So he is not unfamiliar with Peter, but you know, so it's not like this is the first time. But he walks down and he gets into Peter's boat. And he says, Simon, how about pushing out a little bit so that I can speak to the people easier? He would, by being able to go out on the water a little bit, he'd be able to see the folks better. And there was also an acoustical type of a thing that happened. When he was on the boat, he could speak and be heard easier than if he was trying to speak to the people while still on the land in front of them. So it had a couple of good benefits there to do that. And we don't see Peter giving him an argument. You know? He got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. A lot of times, we'll come across people who will gladly take advantage of a person and give no thought of any kind to repayment. Jesus is not necessarily doing that with Peter. Jesus is not just coming in and saying, I want to take your boat. I'm going to go out and do this thing. And you do it just because you're a nice guy. You do it just because you want to. In the ministry, it happens all the time. People will gladly take advantage of you. Hey, we need you to do this for us. We need you to do that for us. We need you to pray for us on this. Pray for us for that. And see you later. It happens. But that's the ministry. You see, you don't go out and you don't minister to people. You don't help people out expecting some kind of an earthly repayment or earthly reward. That's not what it's about. It's about being there for folks, about being there to help with your needs and the things that you are suffering through at the moment. Jesus recognized that Peter and company had a bad night of fishing. That they didn't make any money last night. And since he'd been using Peter's boat to teach the people, he thought, well, when he finished, when he was done with his message to the people, he thought, well, I'm going to do something nice for Peter. And he says, Pete, let's go fishing. Now they're on the shore, they're cleaning their nets and whatnot, but they'd been out all night long. They were tired. I mean, Peter was probably, he was ready to hit the sack. Yeah, I'm going to get this done. I got to go get a nap. I got to get something, get some rest. And I thank you, Lord, that you'd say to me, let's go fishing. And you know, ordinarily, I'd be happy to go fishing. But, man, I'm so beat. I am so tired. I just don't know if I can. Pete didn't argue that way. He was an experienced fisherman. He knew his business. He knew he'd been out all night long, didn't catch anything. The likelihood of going fishing now was probably an exercise in futility. Furthermore, this rabbi was a great teacher, but his background was in carpentry. He didn't say, hey, Pete, let's go build some cabinets. Hey, Pete, let me show you how to drive a nail. He said, hey, let's go fishing. He said, I understand. This is not your field of expertise. Jesus is telling Peter and company, launch out into the deep part of the lake at probably about noon. The likelihood of catching any fish at noon in the deepest part of the lake is pretty slim. The heat of the day, those fish are going to be down on the bottom. Now was not the time to fish. That's why Peter was out all night. That was the time to fish. But Jesus said, let's go. Let's do it now. This is kind of an unusual situation. What do you suppose was the battle that was going on inside of Peter at that particular time? His relationship to Jesus was relatively new. But clearly he had some level of faith. I wouldn't say great, but he had some level of faith. And at the same time that Jesus is saying to him, let's go fishing, his own experience as a fisherman would raise doubts. He would say, the Lord's telling me to do this. But I know this is not the best thing to do. This is not the best time to catch fish. He wanted to trust Christ. After all, Christ had been in his home. He'd seen Christ work. He'd seen the healing of his mother-in-law. He wanted to trust him, but he still had this, I don't know, kind of an attitude going on. Jesus is telling me to do this, and I know it doesn't click with what I know. You know, in our lives, in the Christian life, we have those kind of battles all the time. The Holy Spirit, through God's Word, and our own conscience will tell us to do one thing, while our old self may insist on another course of action or even inaction. We fight with it. We know this is what the Lord wants us to do, but yet we know we got to do this. We got to do that. Or we do nothing at all. Peter had this struggle, but in the end he said, all right, Lord, we'll do it your way. We'll do it your way. He was obedient to the Lord's word. How powerful is the word of God? He said, at your word, Lord, I'll let down my net. I know this is probably a waste of time, But at your word, I will do other than what I think to do. How often have we done what we didn't want to do and received a blessing? How often? Can I confess to you? I will confess to you. Because I know you all love me. I get up at 3:30 in the morning. So by 6 o'clock at night, I'm pretty well shot. Yeah. But it's okay. Pastor Greg came out Wednesday night, and I said, all right, I need to do this. I need to man up a little bit. Greg knows. I mean, Greg knows. He says, you still running them ungodly hours? I said, well, it's the only hours I got. And so I said, all right, I'm coming out. Sat down. Greg was wonderful. I thought Greg did a great job on Wednesday night. And I felt rewarded for having come out and sat and listened to him teach. And that happens. That happens to us more times than not. When we find a reason why we can't do what God wants us to do, but we do it anyway. It's almost always guaranteed you're going to be blessed when it's over, when it's all said and done. Peter's saying, Lord, I'm beat. I am bushed. I'm tired. You're sending me out in the middle of the lake at noon to catch fish. I know that can't happen, but you're sending me there anyway. And he goes out and lets down his net because the word of God said so. Remember, Jesus was God incarnate. He said, let down your net for a big catch. What's the worst that could happen? He'd have to go back and clean his nets again. But obedience to the word of God brought blessing and brought it abundantly. It says that he pulled in enough fish that the nets started to snap. Those nets were starting to break. They probably had never had a catch like that before. Ever. And he's yelling and pulling. And James and John, they're on their own boat. They're sunbathing. These guys are just laying out in the sun, you know, having a great old day. And he says, hey, a little help here? Yo, beautiful, come over here. We're having a little problem. We got some fish. And the guy looked up and said, yeah, you got fish. You know, he pulls off his Ray-Bans and looks over there and says, whoa, you guys got fish. And so they had to run over. Pulled the line on their Evan Rude and they just zipped on over across the thing. And there they were. The guys were pulling the thing in and they said, all right, we're going to help you. We're going to pull that net in there. And not only were the nets starting to snap a little bit, but the haul was so great that the boats started to sink. That was more tilapia than they would eat in a, you know. In this miracle, Jesus demonstrated his dominion over the creation. You know what? Jesus didn't send Peter out to the middle of the lake on a fool's errand. Jesus sent Peter out into the middle of the lake because it first contradicted his own logic. But second, because he ordained for those fish to be there at that time. Jesus brought the fish to that spot. Fish had to do what the Creator told them to do. In performing that miracle, he validated to the people at least that he was a great teacher, that he was come from God. And the people could recognize this was a bit of a miracle. By bringing in such a great haul of fish, he repaid Peter for the use of the boat. That fish would come in, and that fish would supply them with a great amount of money. They would take it to market and sell it. They certainly weren't going to eat all of that fish. And to those men who would become his disciples, he gives them an object lesson. Matthew Henry wrote that they might for a time and in one particular place toil and catch nothing, yet they should be instrumental to bring in many to Christ, to fill, as it were, the gospel net. They learned a lesson that what they were going to be about was not plucking animals from the water. And it says, everybody who saw this catch were astonished. They were just shocked. How does this happen? But Peter had kind of a different reaction. Peter had a deeper reaction to this blessing from God. Peter saw Jesus for who he is, and he saw himself for who he was. A sinful man in the presence of a holy God. He was moved. Rather than revel in the present prosperity that he'd been blessed with, Peter humbles himself and he says, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. I'm not worthy to be in your presence. Sometimes it's very, very good that Jesus doesn't answer our requests that we make. Peter makes a prayer to depart from me. If Jesus leaves Peter, where's Peter? But Jesus did give him some comfort. He said to him, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, Peter. I understand what's going on inside of you right now. I understand that you recognize your sinfulness and that you recognize that I am God incarnate, that I am holy. In that situation, we could expect to die. A holy God cannot see sin. He cannot accept sin in his presence. Why wouldn't Peter tremble? Don't be afraid, Peter. Don't be afraid. There's greater work that needs to be done. There's a greater catch that needs to be made. He said, Peter, from now on, you will catch men. Change had come for these fishermen. No longer would they be dependent upon their own wisdom or their own experience. Matter of fact, they were going to be leaving a life that brought death to at least some of God's creatures. and exchanging that for one that imparted life to God's greatest creation. And they trusted completely in God for their care. It says they brought their boats to the shore and they left them. They forsook all and followed him. Now, you know, that's one line of scripture that you need to really sit back and think about what they did. They walked away from their livelihood to pursue their calling. Jesus said, "Follow me. I will make you fishers of men." And they said, "Well, okay." They said, "Okay." Now, that was a big deal. That was a big deal. And I can just, you know, I see Peter and Andrew coming in on their boat, whatever crew they might have had. I see James and John coming in on the other boat. Zebedee standing on the shore. James and John saying, "See you, Dad. We're leaving the family business." You think Zebedee understood that? Do you think Peter's wife understood that? He had one, you know. He had a mother-in-law. Had to have a wife. That's the only way you get those. That was a very moving thing. And it demonstrates again the power of the Word of God. Jesus says, "Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men." And they didn't give it a second thought. They brought their ships to shore, bailed out, and followed Christ. Now, I'm sure Zebedee at least took care of the fish. They didn't lay there and rot. Jesus wouldn't have provided such a great thing for the purpose of just wasting them. Christ gives us our instructions. And the Word of God, in so many ways, is so simple. The instructions that Jesus gives us, they're just so simple. But they're not necessarily easy. He said, "Come to me, you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He said, "Come to me, you who are bogged down with fatigue and are overburdened. Come to me, and I will give you rest." And we say, there's got to be more to it. We're logical people. We're sophisticated people. There's got to be more to it. He says, "I'll give you rest." He says, "Come," and he says, "take my yoke upon you. It's easy. The burden that I put upon you is light." Because he's the strength that carries it on. He said in Acts, he says, "Be witnesses." That's simple. Be witnesses. It's not always easy. It's not always easy to be a witness for Christ in the middle of a bunch of pagans. When you're outnumbered. When are those who look down their nose at the Christian and say, you know, you're just not, you know, with it. But he says, be witnesses. Simple. But maybe not easy. Remember from last week, from John 15, he says, bear good fruit. Bear good fruit. If we're going to bear good fruit, we've got to be doing something. We got to be working, doing something. Even if that's not getting a list of conversion cards or whatever from people, maybe we're seeing the fruit of the Spirit growing in our lives. Maybe we're finding ourselves becoming more loving people. More people at rest, at peace, in the hand of God and in His care. Bear good fruit. Be witnesses for Christ. Come to Christ if you're bogged down. If you're burdened, if you're fatigued, if you would. And in the 62nd Psalm, as well as many other places, he said, trust in God at all times. Peter would not have ventured out into the middle of that lake if he had not trusted Christ. He might have considered Jesus to be a nice guy. He was happy to momentarily let him use his boat so he could preach. But if he never trusted Jesus, he never would have ventured out into that deep water. And he certainly never would have lowered those clean nets. He didn't believe Jesus would do something about it. These are simple things, simple instructions from God's Word. Not always easy, but simple. But Jesus, you know, the Scriptures tell us emphatically that if we are obedient, if we trust in Him, that He will bless us abundantly above all that we might ask or think. For the glory of God alone. Let's pray.